On the night touching the person, word of the Lord Jesus and regarding his coming. And now, just before we do have the message, let us sing that chorus. Some were disappointed we didn't sing it last night. It's a new life, oh how he changed me, a new life he rearranged me. So I think we'll have it tonight, shall we? And for those of us tonight, we'll sing it out, we'll sing it twice, and by the second time I know you'll have it, eh? Many of you really know it because we taught it when we were here some time ago, and sometimes you continue to sing it. So that's just wonderful, eh? Can I tell you a story about this particular chorus? If I were in Brisbane, in Australia and Queensland some time ago, because I teach these choruses all over the world, and I taught to you, believe it's precious, and then taught this one, is a new light. A friend of ours is having a 2.5-hour organ recital at the Elderly Citizen Home. A home that really belongs to the assemblies there, with over 100 there, staying. And they've also got a nursing home, they've got an infirmary on the same campus. And anyway, he was asking for favorites. And some favorites were given out, then somebody said, let us sing the chorus Mr. Boswell taught us. It's a new life, and also, do you believe it's precious? So they sung those. A lady came in, who had not been in previously, and so he asked for some of those favorites. So the lady said, let us sing that Christian rock and roll chorus. Christian rock and roll chorus. So they said, Christian rock and roll. So yes, the one that Mr. Boswell taught us, you know, it's a new life. So this is the Christian rock and roll chorus. But you know, I always thought, well, they love this, do you believe it's precious? But I found a more mature Christian. No one grows old these days, you just mature, don't you, eh? And some of you are maturing very gracefully, you know, you really are. And so the more mature Christian really likes that it's a new life, oh, why you changed me. And of course the chorus sings, gone are the wrinkles and gone are the stains. He goes, Mr. Boswell, what does that mean, gone are the wrinkles? Shall we sing it together? You like. Oh, yeah. It's a year like, how he changed me, a year like, he rearranged me, a year like, richer and full. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. It's a big life, it's a big life. Amen. Now you just sing a chorus once here, then you know it. Isn't that true? So everyone knows it this time. Let us all rise and sing it right out, shall we? Sing it right out. It's a new life. It's a new life. It's a new life. It's a new life. It's a big life. It's a big life. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I see one or two calls. That coffee's floating around there. Yeah, there's some more extra coffee for tomorrow night. That'll really be wonderful. Some are here for the very first time and they don't know the chorus. Lovely, you can get a grip of it, I'm sure. Please continue to remember us very much in your prayers. We continue during these days together. I said the other night, we were destined for advertisements. You yourselves have been blessed by the ministry, then tell others of it and encourage them to come along with you night after night. We want to share
These good things from the Lord don't wait. Now, last night, we're looking at the Cozy Corner chapter, and the 14th chapter of John. We're going back there tonight, and we want to look at one or two verses in the 14th chapter of John, and we find there a wonderful intimacy between Christ and His church. A wonderful intimacy between Christ and His church. Now, when I refer to church, I am not referring to a building of stone and lime or brick and mortar. I am referring to a living organism composed of every born-again child of God. Irrespective of what label they may have on them, if they're born again by the Holy Spirit, they are in this living organism, the Church of the Living God. First of all, then, there is a union of support. A union of support. It is the foundation and the building. Christ said, remember, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, he's not referring to Peter as the rock, for Peter himself refers to Christ as the rock, remember, and Christ himself is a rock bed. The confession Peter just made in Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Christ says immediately, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, Christ is the foundation, and we, born again ones, are the lively stones built upon that solid foundation. And thank God tonight, the foundation, God stand sure, having the seal, the Lord knows them that are His. A preacher back in Hyde Park, London, England, some time ago was preaching on the theme, Christ the Solid Rock Foundation. Great big burly Irishman looked over the crowd and said, a sinister, what about the shamrock? But the preacher went on preaching, on Christ the Solid Rock I stand. Then the Irishman said, say mate, what about the shamrock? The preacher stopped and said, on Christ the Solid Rock I stand. All other rocks are shamrocks. Now, isn't that true? Now, probably you wonder why I put these little funny bits in from time to time. I'll tell you why. Because when you smile and when you laugh, I know you're getting it. You see? And that's a real help. And maybe a good bit of psychology in it, but it really works, doesn't it now? So it says we've got the solid rock foundation. And the lively stones are born again once and built upon that foundation. It's amazing. You have the church founded upon its founder. And more than that, He Himself is the architect. He Himself is the builder. And He Himself is the foundation. Lively stone. Living stone. No dead brick. A man may make a brick, but only God can make a stone. And those are born of the Holy Spirit. They are the lively living stones which are placed upon the solid rock foundation. First of all, there is a union of support. Secondly, it's a union of life. A union of life. The head and the body. As a building, we are supported from beneath. But as a body, we are sustained from above. And Christ became the head of the church after His crucifixion, resurrection, exaltation to the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, all the life of that body comes from the head. The whole body is sustained from above. And from that living head we find all the members knit together. And we're members one of another. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we read these words. Christ has placed us in that church for His own pleasure. I like that. That knocks all the starch out of us, doesn't it? Knocks all the pride out of us completely. Because when we say, if I were only a hand, I would be doing this. Or the eye may say, if I were only a foot, I'd be going here and going there. But oh, He placed us in that very position where He wanted us. I like that. For His own pleasure. and for God's glory. And all the life of the risen head comes to each member in this living organism. And remember, just as the church is a picture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, that they had that manifested the glory of Jehovah, so now the body is here to manifest the excellencies and the virtues and the beauty and the graces of our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And all these come to us from the risen head, so it is imperative that we are in living touch day by day with the living head, his life flowing through you, his life flowing through me, in life-giving stream, your life, my life will be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. I love to develop that time with another love. Remember again that we are members one of another. He placed us in that position for his own pleasure. Then we come down to another union. It's a union of affection, the bridegroom and the bride. Now this is a very tender union, the bridegroom and the bride. The Father delights in us as a family. The Holy Spirit indwells us as a temple. But the Lord Jesus displays his affection for us as his bride. Oh, that wonderful intimacy. Did you ever notice the first I will in the scripture and the last I will have to do with a bride? The first one, a bride for the first Adam. The last one, a bride for the last Adam, the Lord from heaven. And he's saying now, he loved the church and he gave himself for her. He cleanses her and he washes with the washing water by the word. He nourishes and he cherishes. And one day along, he's going to present her to himself without any spot or blemish or wrinkle, any such thing. I'm quoting now from verse chapter 5 of the Ephesian letter. And the scripture says clearly, so speaks Christ of his church, the bride. Isn't that precious to your heart? This wonderful, tender intimacy between Christ and the church. He is a heavenly bridegroom. And one day long, the bridegroom's coming to take his bride away. The bride is purchased with his own precious, precious blood. The dear brother's been singing this, and maybe today we shall hear the bridegroom's voice saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. We are members one of another. Remember how in Genesis, when Adam, God took Adam, having said, it's not good for man that he should be alone. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And when Adam was still in that deep sleep, from his side, God took the rib, and from that rib he built up the woman. There's where you got your name from, by the way, girls. Woman. And somebody says it's been woman ever since. But there's the whole thing, woman, you see. And so when Adam opened his eyes, lo, there was Eve, a complete woman. That's why I don't believe in selective rapture. That's why I don't believe in partial rapture. I believe when the church is presented, Christ shall be a complete woman. A whole woman. Isn't that wonderful? It fills my heart as I think of that tonight, and it may be tonight. The wonder of it all. But there's something more touching my heart, you know. Here Adam says, you're bone of my bone, you're flesh of my flesh. What does the heavenly bridegroom say? If they're members of one of another, members of my body, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Oh, that wonderful intimacy between Christ and his people. Do we know this experientially? Oh, we may know it scripturally. We may know it doctrinally. But do I know it a living, vital reality in my life, every moment of every day, that Christ is the very life of my life? Nothing apart from Christ, he is my very life. Christ thinking through the thoughts, willing through the will, looking through the eyes of compassion upon the multitude, Christ loving through the heart, Christ working through the fingers, Christ walking around the shoe leather. It's not I, but Christ who is our life every moment of every day. What a wonderful joy. So Someone said to Stephen Alford years ago, back yonder in Britain. Steve and I used to preach together years ago. Now, of course, is a great Dr. Stephen Alford, and he is really a man whom God is using mightily. But after preaching to 10,000 young people in Royal Albert Hall, a young lady whom we know very well went to him, and he was then a bachelor, by the way. So this young lady went up and said, "Mr. Alford, I can't understand why you, with such a striking personality, and with such gifts, and with such oratory, you're not married. And the very girls worship the ground you walk on." What a thing to say to any man. So Stephen looked at her and said, "Well, it's like this. When God was going to give Adam Eve, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And when Adam was still asleep, from his side he took a rib. And from that rib he built up the woman. And little when Adam opened his eyes, there was Eve." Stephen said, "I'm afraid I'm still in my sleep." He said, "Now and then I open my eyes and close them quickly." You know, I do feel over and over again, a man's not all there until he's married. You know that? A man's not all there until he's married because there's a rib missing. There's a rib missing. And until that man gets that rib back again, he's not all there. But he must be sure he gets the right rib. Because if he gets the wrong rib and it's a mistake, it can hurt pretty badly. Now I know your medical view is saying, Jim Boswell, you ought to know your anatomy better than that. A man is not only a rib less than a woman. Not at all. In the corner of the medical science, the rib grew again in Adam. Then a man has a rib, many ribs, just as many as a woman has. Isn't that wonderful? It really is. So you know, I can understand men being bachelors, can you? I can understand them. I do feel there's something missing somehow. Present company excluded, of course, here tonight. Your little thought of meditation, shall we? Remember, we find, first of all, then, there is the foundation and the building, a union of support. Then there's a union of life, the head and the body. And now there's a union of affection, the bridegroom and the bride. I often think of that time, you know, when the servant, Abraham's servant, was sent to bring back a bride for Isaac. Not a very easy thing to do, to bring back a wife for another man, but that's what he's sent to do. And God prospered in the way. Questions put to young Rebecca, "Will thou go with this man?" Oh, I would to God I could preach like that. I would to God I could still present the Lord Jesus in all his sordid dignity and glory in eternal worth. That when the question is asked of you tonight, "Will you have this one, thy Lord and Savior?" Your heart will respond, "Yes, Lord, I will. And I do it now." Rebecca had a golden opportunity. She got a freedom of will. And the minister says, "I will go." Now notice, she had only heard of Isaac. To you who believe he is precious, from having not seen, we love. She had never seen him. She had only heard a testimony concerning him. That she believed that testimony. The question is asked, "Wilt thou go?" Says, "I will go." Now, not in a lovely Cadillac, not even in a Ford, not even in a Rolls Royce, but on a camel's back. On a camel's back, going about 1,400 miles in that old camel's back. Now, I know it is to ride on a camel. You know you got kidneys and liver and everything else by the time you get to the end of your journey, riding on a camel's back. But here we find out, they're going across. And I think I can hear, I'm sure I can hear, Rebecca asking Eliezer all the questions she could think of concerning Isaac. Women are very nosy, and I'm sure she was nosy, and she wanted everything she could think of concerning Isaac. She's going to marry him. Tell me everything you know about him. I know everything about him. Are you like that with the Holy Spirit? You ask the Holy Spirit to tell you everything that he knows concerning Christ? Through the Holy Scripture. I love that, you know. And I'm sure the servant just delighted to hear everything he knew concerning Isaac. And then that very day, in the evening time, evening of grace, Isaac comes out to meditate in the field. And as he's meditating in the field, lo, the camels are coming. Do you know that old song? "The camels are coming, oh, oh, the camels are coming, oh, oh." For the heavens, we find there, just says, "Look, who's that man?" And there he is, said, that's him, that's the very man you're going to marry. Oh, and what happened? She gave off her candle, and she veiled herself. I like that. She veiled herself, and she got into contact with Isaac. And what happened? It says that Isaac loved her, and he was comforted, and he took her into his mother's bed. Having not seen, she loved. I'm presenting you tonight the heavenly bridegroom, the one who died for you, shed his precious blood for you upon the very cross, and who lies no longer in the grave, but who now lives in the power of an endless life. And I tell you that story with all my heart. Do you believe that record? If I ask you right now, will you accept this one as your Lord and Savior? Will your heart say, Lord, I will, and I do it now? You don't need to wait at the end of the meeting. You even save right now. You're sitting right there in that seat. I see God. I hear with a hearing of faith. I have not seen nor ear heard. Oh, that God prepare for them that love him. One thing I do know, Christ died for me. He shed his blood for me. And he lives in the power of an endless life. If I own as my very own Lord and Savior, he'll come into my life. He'll transform my life. Now, to be able to think truthfully, it's a new life. Oh, how he changed me. It's a new life. He rearranged me. It's a wonderful life. It's a big life. It's a great life. And all this life is yours, not in religion, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I present you tonight this heavenly bridegroom. But then another union. A union of guardianship. The shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd and the sheep said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd who came again from the dead. He is the chief shepherd who one day will return and own and reward his sheep. Yes, beloved, the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He not only saves us, he provides for us and he protects us right along the journey's way right in to the Father's house. But then last in this connection, so this is all introductory to my message really, the next part is sustenance. It's a union of sustenance, the vine and the branches. Isn't it lovely? Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And without me ye can do nothing. As the branch is hopeless and helpless without the vine, so are ye without me. Without me, says Christ, you can do nothing. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who pours his strength in and through me. I'm only a helpless branch, O Lord, for thou art the mighty vine. I'll cast care aside, in thee I'll abide. Flow through me, O Spirit divine. Aren't these wonderful words? Aren't they precious words? It's a lovely chorus. I'll have to teach it sometime, not this time. But the words again are these. I'm only a helpless branch, O Lord, for thou art the mighty vine. I'll cast care aside, in thee I'll abide, flow through me, O Spirit divine. A fivefold union, a wonderful intimacy between Christ and his people, a union of support, a foundation of building, a union of life, the head and the body, a union of affection, the bridegroom and the bride, a union of sustenance, the vine, the branches, a union of guardianship, the shepherd and the sheep. Aren't you glad you're in that union tonight? Aren't you glad you're in Christ? Because all these are yours, all these are mine by his master's grace, because we're in Christ even tonight. Remember, the guy suggesting how the life comes to us from the head. Now, the least member in your body can't be, say, hurt without your head knowing about it. Saul was persecuting the body on earth, while the head complained from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Saul was persecuting the Christians, the members of that body, or the head complained from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See how closely, how intimately you're linked up with your lovely Lord. And even the least member in the body can't suffer without the head knowing about in the glory. We were going to South America some time ago, night of a blood test. And Dr. Sorrestre, a very lovely Italian doctor, was going to give me a blood test. So he said, Jim, I'm going to give your finger a little teeny-weeny prick. Just a teeny weeny prick, you say. He gave it to me, but you know, I felt it. Only a teeny weeny prick. See, no sense, no feeling. I felt it. But he said, you know, Jim, he said, you're so Scottish, you won't let your blood come. I've got to give it another prick. You see? But you know, when I get even the least member in my body, I felt it. And you know something? There's not a pang that rends the heart, but the man of sorrow shares a part. There's not a throb nor a throb my heart doth know, that he feels it above. Oh, Christian, take heart, take courage tonight. You see how closely and how intimately you're linked up with your lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Lord, isn't he? And you know, he becomes increasingly precious every moment of every day. Now back to John Philippine, please, for a few moments. We'll go as far as we can, the time allotted to us now. Verse number 19. John 14, this lovely cozy corner chapter. And the three little words here, they come seven times. I'll give you five. Here it is, verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. These are the words, I, ye, also. I, ye, also. And they come seven times. There's the first one. Ye are ye also of life. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now isn't that precious? That he who died upon the very cross now lives in the power of a man's life. He said, now because I live, ye shall live also. See, our life is not coming apart from Jesus Christ. He is our life. Sevenfold picture. Here's the first one. His life, just as to the life that we now possess as a Christian. As a Christian. Now notice, his life is a life from above. A life from above. I am come from above that she might have life and that she might have it more abundantly. He came from above. And remember how the Lord said to Nicodemus, marvel not I see unto you, you must be born from above. How can that be? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? The Lord Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Flesh, the earthly life. Spirit, the life which is life from above. Man is made up of spirit and soul and body. Spirit, he is God-conscious. Soul, he is self-conscious. And body, he is world-conscious. And when God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when they partook of that forbidden fruit, they died. Earth is Mr. Worldly Wise Digger, that's not true. Because Adam lived to well over 900 years, and he had sons and daughters, so they did not die. No, beloved, they did not die physically, they died spiritually. And that spirit part of man that knew God, they communed with God, worshiped God. From that moment, the last baby born into the world, that spirit part is dead toward God. In the book of Proverbs it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so man by nature is not only spiritually dead, he's spiritually ignorant. For the Bible speaks of darkness as ignorance. And that candle light was snuffed out. And Christ said, I am come that ye might have light, that ye might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the light of the world. Yet for he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So in receiving Christ, you receive light. He by his spirit comes into your spirit part. You're quickened into life. You're alive unto God. You know God as your Father. And you come from darkness into light. That's what it says. He brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. From a condition of spiritual death into a sphere of spiritual life. From a condition of spiritual darkness into a sphere of spiritual life. Beloved, if you're here without Christ tonight, you are not only spiritually dead, but you're spiritually in the dark. And you need illumination. and you need regeneration. And these are found for you in only one person. That person is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These are remarkable words in there, but they're very, very precious. Two young people from Cambridge University came to see me one day back in Yorkshire in England. They said, Mr. Boswell, do you believe the creation story of Genesis chapter 1? And being a Scotsman, I said, I'm going to ask you another question. The Scotsman always answers a question by asking another. It gives him time to think of the question after him, you see. As I said, it is this, have you received Jesus Christ for eternal life? He said, oh no, so we'll deal with that one first. And after 2 hours, the two young people got up from their knees, having received the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I said to the young man, his name is Gordon. Gordon, what about Genesis chapter 1? Oh, he said, that's all clear to me now. He said, why? I know the author. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned, says Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A man may go through a theological seminary, or cemetery if you like, and he may come up with umpteen letters behind his name, but that man has never been born from above, born again, he's as blind as a bat to this book's concern. He has wound his cubs of force to get a livelihood. We've been born again by God's Spirit, we're to see Christ by Spirit in your heart, knows far more about this book, and far more about God. And the great theological professor with all his boasted learning, who's never been born of the Holy Spirit, Billy Graham says, the man's mind is warped, it's twisted, so it is with every natural man, no matter how intellectually bright it may be. You've been born again by the Spirit of God, he's as blind as a bat. For this book's concern, it's a divine illumination that comes to us by the Spirit of Christ in your heart. I wonder, will you do that this very evening? Christ said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Now it says in John 1 verse number 12, there's many who deceived him, not it, not a code, not a creed, not a catechism. There's many who deceived him, to them gave he power, a legal right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice, to believe on him is to receive him into your heart. There is a great difference between believing about and believing in and believing on. Young university boy from Alberta came to me one morning after the family Bible on Bethany Chapel in Calgary. Said, sir, what's the difference between believing with my mind and believing with my heart? Looking at him, I said, you believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus? And I've never doubted the virgin birth. I've always believed in the virgin birth. Said, you believe in the virtuous life of Jesus Christ? In the holy, sinless, spotless Son of God? Said, I've never doubted that. Had he been able to sin, he could never have been my Lord and Savior. Then I said, you believe in the vicarious death of Christ? So when Christ died upon that cross, he died instead of you. He said, Good Friday tells me Christ died for me to bear the penalty against my sin. It's good. Now, do you believe in the victorious resurrection? And the Christ who died upon that cross was taken place in that tomb and now lives? He smiled and said, of course I do. He said, Easter Sunday tells me Christ rose again from the dead. I just can't get away from it. He said, I can't put the date to the top of my notepaper. Look at the date in the calendar of the newspaper without believing these historical facts. For all dates point from these historical facts concerning Jesus Christ. So that's true. So I said, now look, do you believe that Christ as a living man has ascended back into heaven and being a good Anglican, a good Episcopalian? Said, of course I do. Since ascension Sunday tells me Christ went back to heaven, looking straight at that young man, by the way, whose name is also Gordon. The first Gordon I referred to from Cambridge is in Zambia, the man is a medical officer. That's his profession, but he's there helping the missionaries, doing a tremendous work for God. And this other young man's name is Arthur Gordon. And I looked at him and said, Gordon, you believe all that with your mind. You've given a mental assent to historical facts concerning Jesus Christ, and you leave Christ standing at your heart's door. Won't you believe with your mind all these years? Now act upon it. I said, Lord, it isn't for me, and I own it, my Lord and Savior. Now, you see, for remember, I said, you may know all that intellectually, there's no life and no power until Christ comes into your heart. The hand Christ has planted inside the mind, he clasped my hand and he said, I'll do it right now. He is rolling down that manly stage to receive Christ. That's quite a number of years ago. I was passing by from Vancouver about 2 years ago, and called in for two nights with Ebony. A young man came up with a rather heavy beard, and he said to me, do you remember me? And I said, if I could get past that beard, I think you're Gordon Morgan, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. That very same young man who that very night rejoiced in the glorious fact that Christ is the very light of his life. Now let me ask you lovingly, it's not a case of believing about. I believe in solid fact concerning Christ. You must act upon what you really believe. The Lord, now I receive thee. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can I give you a very simple illustration? Let us going to close, and I will go off from here tomorrow night on his honor. Four or five are ye also. They're really precious, and you dare not miss them because you miss a tremendous loss if you miss out on those five are ye also. That'll be a real definite blessing to you. But here's the illustration. A young couple are going round together. They're very much attached to one another, and she believes he loves her. She believes he cares. She's strong, he's strong, but able to support her and to look after her. She believes all that about him, but they don't belong to one another. And so that lovely moonlight night, the stars drifting up there in the heavens, the breeze is coming to the trees, that little ripple there upon the lake, and a little bird that's singing a little song. Having read itself toward romance, I didn't know much about these things, but they do tell me a lot about them. And of course the point is this, that it's so conducive to romance, and he pops the question to her, and he asks her to marry him. Now, he says, yes, I will marry you. She believes about him, now she got confidence in him, but still they don't belong to one another. Until that day they stand before the fisheting pastor, he says, young man, wilt thou have this, wilt thy love with his wife? He says, I will. If and I will have permitted. He says to her, wilt thou have this man thy awful? No. Lawful with his husband, and she says, I will. And now remember this, and I will have committed. He gives himself to her and she to him, and they still become one. Only the other day I put my hands upon the hands of two young people. I said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I pronounce you husband and wife. Whom God has drawn together, let no man put asunder. They believe about each other. They believe in each other. And now they believe on. He given himself to her and she to him. It's the very same concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation. Just as simple as that. Just as clear as that. You believe all these facts concerning Christ? You've got confidence in Christ? And I ask you tonight, will you have him? Will you have him right now? As your very own Lord and Savior, that the Lord I will. You know what he says to you? He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. The marriage union is until dead do us part. But this union for all eternity, it shall never, never be broken. And those of you who are prepared for salvation, you know the joy and the thrill of this life which is the life from above. We'll go out from this morning night and live the Lord. Because the Lord comes by tomorrow night. That's part of life. Many things I'm going to tell you can ask him all about. I'm going to be too happy to tell you, eh? The Lord bless you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Please don't go away with your concern about spiritual matters. No buttonholing. And if anyone buttonholes you, you tell me about it and I'll tell them all.